前世已经出卑的太高的经常打我们的高子 allowing conservative rabbis to use our mikveh for conservative girls. I mentioned the story about something that my father Zachary Lebroche said, but I didn't mention the context, but now I'll mention the context. So it was in the days when Joseph Kennedy constantly had meetings with Adolf Hitler Yimashme and with Neville Chamberlain about Hitler, because Hitler threatened if he's not going to get Austria, so then there'll be war. So Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, and he decided to give in, and he pressured Austria to give in. Then Hitler demanded Sudetenland, and he organized the population in Sudetenland that they must have sovereignty because there are a number of Germans. So Neville Chamberlain again, he pressured Czechoslovakia to give in. It's in the same way as the State Department is pressuring now the State of Israel. Same way. History repeats itself. Mamish the same way. Same way. So somebody was in our house, so he said, Neville Chamberlain is an anti-Semite. Neville Chamberlain is not interested in peace. So my father was no longer close against Neville Chamberlain. He says, Neville Chamberlain is not an anti-Semite. Halacha l'mishneh is Sinai she'isav Sinai Yaakov. So Neville Chamberlain is no exception, but he is not an anti-Semite in any special way. And Neville Chamberlain is really interested in peace. But the trouble with Neville Chamberlain is he didn't learn Tehillim min Hayyam with the good rabbi. Because the pasuk in Tehillim says, Bakei Sholem v'Rotfeil. Seek out the peace and pursue it. So why doesn't the pasuk say, Redeiv Shalom? You have to seek out the peace. And then you pursue it. Why? Because many people, they equate appeasement with peace. The truth is that appeasement is the antithesis of peace. You see, Neville Chamberlain, he was interested in peace. He was not in Nazi Chassid Sholem. And Joseph Kennedy agreed with Neville Chamberlain. He even tried to prevail upon Franklin Delano Roosevelt that he should also join Neville Chamberlain in the assertion that it's indispensable for the peace of Europe to give in to Hitler, give in on Austria, give in on Sudetenland. Until he invaded Poland, so then they all realized that you were not attain peace by giving in to Hitler. He has to be stopped. If not, he'll destroy the whole world. So that's why David HaMelech says, Batei Sholem v'Batreil. He doesn't say, Redeiv Sholem. It's a wonderful thing to be a Redeiv Sholem. But first you have to determine what is conducive to peace and what is conducive to more and more war. So he didn't know the pshat in the pasuk, that's what my father Zachin Avraham said, of Bakei Sholem v'Rotfeil. What was true then is true today. The whole State Department, I don't want to talk against President Bush because Kovin Amalchus is president now. When there's a new election and there'll be a new president, then I'll talk against him. But now, I don't want to talk, I didn't vote for him. And I was upset with the Jewish leaders, and especially the Orthodox Rabbonim, who tell every Jew to vote for Bush. I was upset with them. I felt it's a Chil Hashem. But I'm not going to talk against the Kovid Amalchus. But I can talk against James Baker. He's not the president. He's only a Secretary of State. And any day, if President Bush will see the light and will ask him to resign, so he'll resign. So then, why are they so hostile to Israel? It's the fault of the Reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis and the Federation leaders. Because they speak in the name of Klal Yisrael. It's American, and they get the impression that the overwhelming majority of American Jewry are in favor of recognizing Arafat as the head of the Palestinian state. What do you expect of James Baker? James Baker is not of the caliber of a Senator Henry Jackson or even of a Senator Monaghan. He is, as Chazal say, Haloch Lemeshin Sinai, Sheis of Senor Yaakov. There are exceptions. Balfour is an exception. Balfour is an exception. Wedgwood was an exception. Senator Jackson was an exception. There are other exceptions. But generally speaking, there is a certain prejudice in the heart of every goy. Nice goy, too. But if somebody is nice, he controls himself. But in face of pressure by Jewish leaders who speak in the name of Klal Yisrael, what do you expect of Secretary James Baker? So Kissinger, not because Kissinger is Jewish, but Kissinger is more intelligent than James Baker, so he understands, in spite of the fact that he's Jewish, he understands. So he understands that it will be suicide, but James Baker does not understand this suicide. Not that it would care too much, that if it will be conducive to the destruction of the State of Israel, he will not rent his garments. But Hanat Chas V'Shalom saying is interested in seeing the destruction of the State of Israel. But what do you expect of him? If Dr. Schindler and Rita Hauser and Rosensaft and the leaders of the American Jewish Congress and Orthodox leaders being quiet, some in Mele, the leaders of the American Jewish Congress and Rita Hauser and Rosensaft can represent the Orthodox Jews too by keeping quiet. So what do you expect of Secretary James Baker? He's not one of the Chassidim Seyom of the caliber of Senator Henry Jackson, not even of the caliber of Senator Monaghan. And Senator Monaghan lately released a statement against James Baker, a much more firm statement than any statement by any leader of any organization in America, including the Orthodox organizations. Very firm. I don't know whether you saw it. It was sent in to me by Senator Monaghan. Very firm statement. But what? How can you condemn Secretary James Baker? But what's the mistake? They want Yerushalayim to be dedicated to Shaul. Is this if you tell Aviv? They're not Jews. Even Shay, Tzadiki Shalayim. So he didn't say that it should be called Yero. In his Hashkofes, so Yerushalayim should be dedicated to Shalom, to peace. So what's wrong with Secretary James Baker's ideal that he should be dedicated to peace? So by giving up the unrealistic dreams about a greater Israel, so he thinks that we'll attain peace. So he's in the same, he has the same Ashkofes, Shay is Tzadik Shalom. So James Baker is also Tzadik Shalom. No. Shame was Tzadik Shalom, but James and Senator Henry Jackson was also Tzadik Shalom, but not James Baker. He's not Tzadik Shalom in any way. Why not? He's also interested in peace. The answer is, Shalom has two meanings. Shalom means peace, And Sholem means complete. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hitzilechem V'yayin. And Shein was Tzadiki Shalaylam. He wanted that Yerushalayim should be the city of peace, but also of completion, of self-fulfillment. These liberal non-Jews and liberal Jews are not Tzadiki Shalaylam in any way, because they, unlike Shein, who wanted Yerushalayim to be dedicated to Sholem in its twofold meaning, Sholem in the sense of peace and Sholem in the sense of completion, fulfillment, self-fulfillment. They want Yerushalayim to be dedicated just to peace, peace, self-fulfillment. If Arafat will become the head of the Palestinian state, will there be self-fulfillment for Israel? How can anyone in his right mind even conjure up such a ridiculous thought? They don't know that if we return the Western Bank to Arafat, the arch murderer, they don't know what is it. They have no contact with reality. They don't know, as Kissinger pointed out, that all the lip service by Arafat that he's giving up terror and he's recognized state of Israel is just hypocritical lip service, because if the PLO had been founded after the 1967 war, so then one could say that Arafat was only interested in putting an end to a greater Israel, but a small Israel not. But Arafat founded the PLO movement immediately after the formation of the Jewish state in 1949. There was no greater Israel then. Yerushalayim was in the hands of Jordan. The Western Bank was in the hands of Jordan. Sinai was in the hands of Egypt. The Golan Heights was the hands of Syria. What kind of a greater Israel was then? And he formed the PLO Dafke in 1969. And he was the first one. So can Arafat, is Arafat being the head of a Palestinian state consistent with Sholem in the sense of completion, of self-fulfillment? Of course not! They're not Tzadiki Shalaylam. Shein Beneach was Tzadiki Shalaylam. He was a Beneach, but Chassidim Yisraelim. He was a real liberal. He wanted Yerushalayim to be dedicated. He didn't mention Yira. He was not in that Madrid yet. Yira, that's Avraham Avinu. He's the first Jew, but Shein. The Shaila, Mishnah Melech, where the Oves said it didn't Neach Yisrael, but it goes without saying that Shein Beneach certainly did not have a din of a Yisrael. He was a Beneach. He was Mamish Beneach, the son of Neach. But he was Tzadiki Shalaylam. So he wanted Yerushalayim to be dedicated to Shalom in the twofold senses. Shalom peace and Shalom completion, self-fulfillment. And there is a relationship. If you don't have self-fulfillment, you cannot have peace. You invite more war. So Shalom means Bakei Shalom Birotveyo. You have to seek out the Shalom and to determine whether it is a Shalom that goes hand in hand with fulfillment, or it's a Shalom that goes hand in hand with self-negation, with national suicide. If it is a Shalom that goes hand in hand with completion and self-fulfillment, then Yerushalayim has to be dedicated to it. Not just to it, Yiro is first, but it has to be dedicated to Shalom in both senses. But if it is Shalom that is not coupled with self-fulfillment, Chas V'Shalom, then it is the greatest disaster for Klal Yisrael and for humanity at large too. Because suppose it Chas V'Sholem, a Palestinian state is formed with Arafat as the head. What do you think? The other terrorist groups and the other Arab nations will keep quiet? They are such tzaddikim. They are devoted to each other. So there will be more and more war, bloodshed. The formation of a Palestinian state with Arafat as the head of the state is Chas V'Sholem, will Chas V'Sholem be conducive to another world war? I don't want him to be Malal Adas, the horror of a third world war. And Chas V'Sholem, who knows on what side Russia will be involved, on what side China will be involved. And Russia and China both have nuclear power. It's Chas V'Sholem conducive to the destruction of mankind. So how is it that so many people on the table, intelligent people, the answer is, Im eshkochech Yerushalayim tishkach yomini, tibak lisheni lichikim leeskerechi. There is a connection between the a stroke in the dominant area of the brain on a physical level, and this brain damage on a spiritual level. When a person is stricken by a stroke in the left side of the brain, then his tongue, it cleaves onto the palate of his mouth. Even if he can think, he cannot express himself. He cannot express himself. He cannot communicate. So this is the tragedy that is overtaking modern people, non-Jews and especially Jews. Because if not for the fact that certain Jews are spiritually brain damaged, the G'dalei Ruach HaMalchus would never pray, certainly not in the United States, because the United States has a tradition, a noble tradition, not to mix in the affairs of another country. A noble tradition. But here, pressure is being exerted by so many so-called Jewish leaders. Why shouldn't we join them? Now, there's a certain puzzle that always bothered me. How is it that liberal people, I'm not talking about reform rabbis, I don't consider them liberal, conservative rabbis, they are primarily interested in their own status. But non-Jews, liberal non-Jews, how is it that they cannot see that it's not fair to pressure the state of Israel, they should give up the Western Bank? How is it that liberal non-Jews in the American media, how is it they are so hostile to the state of Israel? After all, the Arab terrorists, they constantly arrest the villagers in Israel, they throw stones and they kill constantly, day after day, night after night. And the Jew in Israel cannot feel free to walk in the streets, especially in Western Bank. He always, when he walks, he feels that he might be the victim of a stone. So, and Israeli soldiers fire shots. Why are they so aroused? In China, in one day, so 3,000 Chinese were killed. Not, they didn't throw any stones. They just protested. 3,000 Chinese were killed in one day. And the United Nations still did not condemn. I haven't read it in the newspaper. Maybe I don't read the newspaper. I do not read the newspaper every day. But it's, if the United Nations had condemned, I would have heard about it. But when an Israeli soldier fires a shot at those who throw stones, especially when that shot hits a woman who went out to hang out laundry, so then the whole world is aroused. Why is it so? And how is it that someone like James Baker, Joel Schultz is a very noble person. No one can accuse Joel Schultz of Chas V'Sholem of any sin or stolen stuff. Everybody knows that Joel Schultz, throughout the years, except at the end of his administration, he was so friendly and noble towards Israel. How is it all of a sudden he makes such a statement and he pays attention? He pays attention to the lip service by Arafat, which was taught to him by certain people, that he should pronounce a formula that he is giving up terror. How is it? How is it to be understood? I think that the reason is because, unfortunately, today people, modern people, have no sense for natural law. The League of Nations was founded, the United Nations was founded, because of the concept of natural law. That there are certain laws which are inherent in nature. So it's not necessary there should be an authority, a sovereign power, who legislates. You cannot declare war against a nation. So that's the basis of the Hague Conventions, the Geneva Conventions, of the law against genocide. What is the basis for it? Natural law. And natural law is not a non-Jewish concept. It's a Jewish concept. There, Rabbi Nissim Goyen, in his Akdome to Broches, he says that da shekol mashe tolu b'vunted libe, anything that is dictated by common sense, nischayvu b'kol b'yelom miyoyim b'y alikim es odo matziv kladias. In the Akdome to the Peirush on Broches, Rabbi Nissim Goyen, that's natural law. In other words, anything that is perceived by innate common sense, everybody understands that there is a categorical imperative of Leisiot. And the Gemara says so many times, what's the difference between Chukim and Mishpotim? Chukim are those laws for Shilmolei Loi Nichtivu Einam Ruim Leikosim. And Mishpotim, like Shirdonim, Gezel, even Kudavei, Dvorim Sheilu, Shilmola Loi Nichtibu, even if the Torah had not mentioned them, so Ruim Heimli Kosit. Because human common sense dictates that Shirdonim is a terrible thing, violence is a terrible thing. It's not necessary to have a legislative body that should legislate, you're not allowed to kill. So that was the basis of international law, of the formation of the League of Nations and the formation of the United Nations. Today, we came on Mishpat Shomer Russia. Such terrible things take place, terror. And Shehuzdomim in China, 33,000 Chinese are killed Chinese who just protested. They didn't throw any stones, nothing. And it came a mishpat. The United Nations, that is grounded in the concept of international law, natural law, vorm shiul oi nichtevo ruine li kosei. They keep quiet. They keep quiet. There is no, and unfortunately, there is no sense for natural law by modern people. Why is there such an attitude by doctors and lawyers in regard to quality life? Why is it that so many doctors and Jewish doctors, and among them, and Leidavaneinu, unfortunately, or Shamna Mikolom, Beishnu Mikodeya, more Jewish doctors are guilty than non-Jewish doctors. I know in Chicago, many doctors, when an elderly person has problems in the kidneys, they refuse to give dialysis. If a young boy or young girl so has a problem with kidney failure of kidneys, so then they decide to give dialysis to prolong life. But if a 70-year-old man has a problem with kidney, they refuse to give dialysis. And this is appreciated by many people. Why is it that you say if somebody is terminally sick, you shouldn't, not only that you're not obligated, you shouldn't, it's an aveira to prolong his life. Because you are prolonging his torture, even though everybody knows today that with the painkillers, it's possible to prolong the life without anything. Everybody knows it. There are only exceptional situations. Except I heard it from many doctors, where it's exceptional situations. In 1 out of 10,000 cases, where it's impossible to prevent pain through painkillers. But still, so many doctors, they refuse to give treatment to prolong the life of people. There is no sense for natural law. There is no sense for natural law. And the Sefer Hasidim says, and the Sefer Hasidim wrote it in the 12th century, so he wrote, Minag ha-yudim afilu ha-tevim shebehem ki minag ha-goyim shebisechom yeshu. What should we say? If the Sefer Hasidim said both that in the 12th century, what should we say? So, in the non-Jewish world, they today, unfortunately, they have no sense for natural law. In the 18th century, so all the intellectuals had a sense for natural law. That was the basis of international law. That was the basis for the formation of the League of Nations. That was the basis for the formation of the United Nations. And Chazal constantly reiterate the importance of natural law. Dvorim shil lo nichtivu, rui meili kosev. The acharetz kidnu letaor. What does it mean? What is the acharetz? The acharetz is natural law. The acharetz is natural law. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Reb Lezer ben Azariah imeir, im ein de acharetz in Torah, im ein Torah in de acharetz. Of course, the acharetz, natural law by itself, is not enough. If it had been enough, the Rebbeinu Shalom would not have given the Torah to the Jewish people. But it took chavov deiros until the Rebbeinu Shalom decided to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Why? The acharetz kidnu l'teira chavov deiros. Because if a person is not cultivated a genuine sense for the acharetz, for natural law, then he's not ready to accept the Torah. Chavov deiros had to take place before the Jewish people was ready to accept the Torah. But if a Jew says, I am only interested in the mitzvahs of Torah, but I have no sense for the acharetz, so that's against the halacha. The Ramban says, Yesh loch novel b'shus haTorah. What is in novel b'shus haTorah? It's not b'shus haTorah. Because that's mentioned in Vosisa Yoshua Teiv. That means, if he doesn't recognize the principles of the Acharetz, of natural law. So the halacha does not negate natural law. And there is a gemore in Erev. So the gemore says, Il mole nitno teuro leartis le Yisrael ho yinu le meidim gezel min mola ve utzni es michos. If the Torah had not been given, we should, with our own intelligence, promulgate laws against Gezel and laws against Pritzes through natural law, because the laws against Pritzes is manifested by the practice of the Chosel, the cat. The cat is very tsunuizdik. There is no Pritzes. And the laws against Gezel is manifested by the behavior of the ant, the Nimolo. Leich al Ramolo. Shlomo HaMelech said, we have to take less lessons from the Nimolo. I once heard from Hagoyim Rav Yitzchok Kuttner, Zechen Levroche, he was my Rebbe. When I was in Europe, when my father left for America, I was before Bar Mitzvah. So when my father was in Europe, he was my Rebbe. But he went to America, so he asked Rav Yitzchok Kuttner, he constantly came to my father's house so that he should be my Rebbe. So I once heard he had a unique way of expressing himself in a very special, humorous manner and with a lot of wit. He had an inimitable, unique way of expressing profound thoughts through wit and humor. So he once said, he discussed the Gemara in Erev, Il mole nitno teol Yisrael ho yinu meidin gezel min yavolo en slius mechosel. Now, he spoke in Yiddish, so I want to mention for the benefit of those who do not know Yiddish, that in Yiddish, so an ant is called a morashke. And a cat is called in Yiddish a katz. That everybody knows. But that a molo is called in Yiddish a morashke, I don't think everybody knows. I know it. But I don't think that everybody in this audience knows that a molo, an ant, in Yiddish is called a morashke. So Rav Utna Zechen Levroche said, he said, of course, in Mole Nitrotero, then we would have to take lessons from teachers in natural law. So then we would have to call the Morashke, the Rebbe of Morashke, and the cat would have to call Marina Rafkatz. But that would be only if the Torah had not been given to the Jews. But now the Torah is given to the Jews, we don't have to take lessons with the Rebbe of Morashke and Marina Rafkatz. A very profound thought. But unfortunately today, you see, Rav Utner was the Godlador, so he didn't have to take lessons from the Rebbe Reb Morashke and from Marina Rav Katz, because through the Torah he found all the principles of the Acharetz also. But unfortunately for American youngsters, I think that it's important for American youngsters to take a class with Rebbe Reb Morashke and Marina Rav Katz. So then they wouldn't demonstrate when the dinner of Ateres Kehanim, I'm mentioning that because this lecture is sponsored under the aegis of the Young Israel of Flatbush and under the aegis of Ateres Kehanim. I wasn't here at the dinner, but I was told, and I read in the newspaper, that at the dinner, in front of the dinner of the hotel where the dinner took place, so two categories of Jews, so two groups of people demonstrated, the Palestinians, and they carried the Palestinian flag, and Oshamna Mikolom Beishna Mikoldeya, the so-called Nitorekarte, also demonstrated against Arik Sharon And I was told by someone in this audience that some of these so-called Hasidim, Hasid Shalom, they're not Hasidim. At best, they could be called Hasid. At best, Hasidim, that's Hasidim. So some of these so-called Hasidim carry the Palestinian flag. Can you understand it? I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, but I can't even imagine that any psychologist could explain that. Such servility. Why is it so? The answer is because they say we don't recognize the Acharetz. And the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kufte says, Kol mi she'in le'yo she'in le'yelo teiro, afilu teiro en le'y, she'nemar ulimaditem ve'asisem, kol she'yeshnei ba'asiye, yeshnei belemide, v'kol she'enei ba'asiye, enei belemide. So Rashi says, in Yevamos, it means, he says, I'm interested in learning. But I'm not interested in Kima mitzvahs. So he doesn't even have the Kima mitzvah of Tomato. Other mitzvahs, so it doesn't make any difference. Somebody puts on film, whether he observes the Surtei or not. It's a Kima mitzvah. So the Lubavitchers are not to be criticized for putting film at the kotel upon someone who is not a Shino Shabbos. They're not to be criticized. They have a mitzvah. They are to be admired. I wouldn't do it, but they have to be admired for it. Mashim, Kim Talmud Torah, there is a special Zeros HaKosov. Leimaditem ba'asisem, kol sheyeshnei ba'asiye, yeshnei b'mire. If somebody is not a Shino mitzvahs, he's not dedicated to Shmiras HaMitzvahs, he has no Kim of Talmud Torah. He can learn Yemum Belayla. If he's not involved in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, he has no Kim HaMitzvah. Tefillin, even if he's either Kol Avera Shabbateo, he puts on Tefillin, he has a mitzvah. And the Lubavitchers who are Mizake, certain Chal Shabbos, with Tefillin, so they have it, they are Mizake people, they shouldn't be Kakafta Lemanach Tefillin, but not in Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, if you're not involved in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, you have no mitzvah. That's what Rashi says. The Aramir in Yevamos, it's Mashmarim, even if a person is interested in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, but he says, in the Eloteo, I'm not interested in the Acharetz. If there is no explicit love against something, I don't care whether it's in consonance with the Acharetz or not. With natural law, the Acharetz means natural law. Because they are Harasi Kadmonitev. And so, if somebody learns, and even if he's involved in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, it's a smashma from the Lashon of the Miri, but if he has no sense for principles of the Acharetz, for respect for human beings, so then, he's not becoming the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Today, Rav Utner was right. Not only for himself, in his days, when he was a Talmid in Slabotki and Chevron, so it wasn't necessary to take courses with the Rebbe Reb Morashke and Morena Rav Katz. But for the American youngsters, I suggest that they should take lessons with the Rebbe Reb Morashke and Morena Rav Katz. It's Nishtano Ateva. And because of this, because they don't cultivate a sense for natural law, so we can see such an aberration, such an unimaginable aberration, a so-called Hasid carries a Palestinian flag. Why? Because they don't have a sense for natural law, of their Acharetz Kidmo L'Torah. And this is what Sholem symbolizes. Sholem symbolizes two things. First of all, Sholem in the sense of peace. Sholem. And then Sholem in the sense, so that means there are Acharetz. There are Acharetz. But the question arises. There are Acharetz means respect. moral values, respect for human dignity. Not to be chutzpahdik. Why do Chazal call it derech haaretz, the path of the earth? They should call it derech haaretz. Derech haaretz means natural law. So there's a derech haaretz. It's inherent, it's innate in the human mind that Ritzicha is a terrible thing, that Zela is a terrible thing, that the Aftalirah HaKameicha, brotherly love, is a wonderful thing. So why do they call it Derech Eretz? Why don't they call it Derech Bnei Adam? Not Derech Eretz, the path of the earth. But I think the answer is implicit in the Palamoya, in Rosh Hashanah. So the Palamoya in Rosh Hashanah says that the sun does not revolve around the earth, but the earth revolves around the sun. The Copernican theory so is mentioned by the Palamoya. Then Rabbi Yankel Ettlinger in the Sefer Oroch Linea, so he says that this was mentioned, was discovered by Copernicus and Galileo, but it's already mentioned by Ramoy. Then he mentions the Zohar in Parsha Vayikra. So the Zohar raises a question. The Pasuk in Kehelet says, "V'horetz le'ilam medis." But the fact is, the Zohar raises the question. How can the Pasuk in Kehelet say, "V'horetz le'ilam medis," but the earth revolves around the sun? So the Zohar says, Rashi mentions that Pshat and Kehelet, the Oras Leilom Medes means, has reference to Mat Tzadikim. They are called Oretz, so the Tzadikim survive. Everything else perishes, but the Maisi Tzadikim is the only thing that never perishes. So Tzadikim, as Rashi mentions it, and that's in Zohar Parshvei. Anyway, the Zohar says that the earth revolves around the sun. And then Rabbi Yankel Ettlinger mentions, you know, when Galilei declared that the earth revolves around the sun, so then they sentenced him to be hanged, because the Catholic Church considered that as heresy, because in their opinion it was repugnant to the passage in Yeshua, Shemesh B'Given Dayim, which in their opinion implied that the sun revolves around the earth does not revolve around the sun. So then they sentenced him to be hanged. But then the Jesuits showed their mercy, their compassion, and they made an offer to him. They said, if you retract your statement that the earth revolves around the sun, then we'll commute your sentence and we'll venture it out. So at first, on the spur of the moment, he hurts his offer. Listen, to regain his life, so he said, I retract. I said it was stupid on my part to say that the earth revolves around the sun. The earth does not revolve around the sun. The sun revolves around the earth. The sun revolves around the earth. And I'm sorry. But then he was overtaken by pangs of conscience. He says, but I can't help it. But the earth does revolve around the sun. Whether you're going to hang me or not, I cannot falsify the facts. So he was hanged. reasons why Chazal coined the expression the earth, the sun, because of the year of 365 days, it completes its revolution around the sun. And then every day, it makes a revolution around its own axis. So the earth, the Derech Eretz, the path of the earth, is a twofold thing. First, it makes a revolution in the course of the year around the sun, and then every day it makes a revolution around its own axis. This is the example and the blueprint for the principles of the Acharetz. What does the Acharetz mean? The Acharetz means Shalom, of course. Shalom, peace, brotherhood, peace. But Shalom also has another meaning, self-fulfillment. On one hand, Shalom implies that we have to make a revolution in the course of the year around the sun. We have to revolve around all the Mao principles of liberty, equality, and fraternity. Yes, but Shalom has another meaning. Shalom has a meaning, Shalom complete, self-fulfillment. In order to realize Derech Eretz, the approach of the earth, the path of the earth, we cannot content ourselves by constantly making revolutions around the sun. We have to make a revolution around our own axis. No! That was the Shalom that Shem Tzadiki Shalalom coined for Yerushalayim. And modern people, liberal Jews and liberal non-Jews, so they lost the sense for natural law. There is no Derech Eretz. Mimele, they emphasize only as far as Israel is concerned. For themselves, I don't think that James Baker would chastise American soldiers if they fired the shot, let's say, if certain American Indians kept on throwing stones against Americans day after day, night after night. Do you think that James Baker would chastise the American soldiers? And if one newspaper correspondent, or if one correspondent, if one media man on television or on the radio would rebuke the American soldiers, the next day he would be unemployed, I can assure you. But only in respect to Israel, they emphasize that there are only one aspect of the Acharetz. There is a double standard that is being applied by the liberal Americans. But how is it that the Turek are the people, so-called Hasidim, they too, they also rebuke Israel. They too say in the end of the New York Times that until Moshiach comes, so the Western Bank belongs to the Palestinians. You ever hear such a thing? Until Moshiach comes. That's the biggest amaratias that I ever heard. Besides everything else. But they say it. I read that in the New York Times. That a certain so-called Hasid carried the Palestinian flag, I didn't see. That's hearsay. But that I read myself in the New York Times. How is it? The answer is, Minag ha-Yehudim afilu ha-Tevim shebehen, ki Minag ha-Goyim shebiseichom em yeshvim. And the Goyim today, unfortunately, lost the sense for natural law. That's why gaiety, until now, that people are afraid of an epidemic of AIDS that will destroy mankind. So it was considered a private matter. Homosexual, lesbian, it's a private matter, it's a matter of taste. And the mayor of New York said that it's a private matter. We shouldn't criticize anybody who is homosexual, who is a lesbian. Now he doesn't say it, he's afraid. But he used to say it for many years. There is no sense. Homosexuality in common law was considered a felony. Why? Why? Because they had a sense for natural law. And this was called a crime against nature. That's a caver. It's not only osser, it's a big avere of the Torah. It's dvorim shilo nichtivu roivei leikasei. But today, modern people have no sense for natural law. So, minag ha-yehudim atu atidu shebehem. Ki minag ha-goyim shebiseichem yeshvim. Of course, people like Rav Yisro Kutner Zechem Livroche, he didn't dwell among the goyim. He lived in his own corner of the Zovyeh Shel Torah. So he was not influenced by the Munag HaGoyim. But the so-called Yisroel Karte, they are influenced by all the karoftas, hashkofes of the goyim. The goyim don't have a sense for natural law. And they don't have a sense for natural law. And their Acharas is Gimel Torah. And if one does not recognize the principles of their Acharas, then he's not able to rekindle the Torah. He'll pervert the Torah. He'll twist the Torah. So this is the pshat in the Maimon Chazal. Shem korei Yerushalayim. Shem wanted Yerushalayim to be dedicated to the concept of Shalom. But Shalom has two meanings. Shalom has the meaning of peace, and it has meaning of completion, of self-completion, self-fulfillment. Avrom kore yiro. Adishem yire asher yomer ayin ba adishem yiroye. He wanted Yerushalayim to be the city where the Shechinah will be seen, and where the Shechinah will look at every Jew. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im ani kerei yisei Shalom, Avrom hu tzadik shalom Yisrael. Im ani kerei yisei Yiro, Shem hu tzadik shalom bo Yisrael. Likach ani kerei yisei Yerushalayim, Yiro in Shalom. And this is the message of the Shvuah. Im ishkocheich Yerushalayim tishkach imini. We have to remember that Yerushalayim is the place where the Shechinah can be seen, and where the Shechinah can see, where the Shechinah sees every Jew, and when the Shechinah is seen by Jews, then the Shechinah will be seen by the Messiah too. But if the Shechinah is not seen by Jews, how can we expect that the Shechinah should be seen by the non-Jews? So, when we mention the Shvuah of Meshkochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, Tidbak L'Shem L'Chikim Lo Yizkerechi, we have to remember that Yerushalayim represents the two concepts. On one hand, the concept Adishem Yireh Asher Yomer Hayim Ba'Adishem Yeroeh. Yerushalayim, the goal has to be that Yerushalayim has to be the place where the Shechinah can be seen by all Jews. And through Yerushalayim, it can be seen by the Jews in Chutz Laretz. And when the Jews in Chutz Laretz will see the Shechinah, some mele, gradually, it will be seen by the Yerushalayim too. And then Yerushalayim has to be the place that where the Shechinah will look at us. At Hashem Yireh. But in addition, Yerushalayim, it has to be our goal that Yerushalayim should be dedicated to the concept of Shalom, but the Shalom that goes hand in hand with self-fulfillment.